Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Tzadi Ches. We begin at the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Omid Beis with the Mishnah, about 5-6 lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah begins, Hayakore, if a person was reading, they used to have scrolls. They didn't have books like we do, so everything was a scroll, similar to a Megillah. So, Hayakore b'sefer aloi skupa. If you were reading from such a scroll, we'll call it a sefer, but it's a scroll, while you were sitting on an eskupa. What exactly is an eskupa? We will have a discussion as to what its status is halachically. Is it Rosh HaSayochid? Is it Rosh HaSarabim? Is it a carmelis? But for now, we'll just say that this is an elevated area that's like a doorstep, a threshold that is in between the house and the outside area. So if you're reading on this, you're sitting down in your stoop in front of your house, and you're reading this Megillah-like scroll, and it rolls, then it's galgel hasef miyodo, and you're holding on to one end of this Megillah-like scroll, and it is rolling down into the area outside the iskupa. So what is the halachic status? Are you allowed to pull it back in or not? So the Mishnah tells us, go low, it's low. You're allowed to go and roll it back into you. As Rashi says, ho'el v'rosho echo biyodo, since one end is still in your hand, the head is still in your hand, and there is no problem with you rolling it back in. The Gemara again will have different explanations of what the scenario is, so we'll explain each one accordingly. But the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, tells us that you're allowed to roll it back in. Similar situation, Hayakori Barosh Agag, you're sitting up there reading this scroll on your rooftop, and it rolls out of your hand, so you're holding on to one end of this scroll, and the other end has rolled out, and it's Galgal Hasef Miyodo, Achlo Higia Lasor Tvachim. If, as long as it hasn't reached within 10 tvachim of the ground, so it's more than 10 tvachim of the ground, so go lo etzlo. You're allowed to go and re-roll it back to you, because you're holding on, as Rashi had said, to one end, so it's never considered as if left your rishus, and as long as it hasn't reached the other rishus, it's more than 10 tvachim above the ground, you're allowed to roll it back to you. However, Mishnah says, mishegiya lasor tvachim, if it gets within 10 tvachim of the ground, so then you can't roll it back. So all you can do in that situation is turn it around so that the lettering, the side that is the scroll, this is a holy book, that is facing outward, now is facing inwards. In other words, you turn it on its face. So it's now going to be on its face, so the lettering is not in a bizoyon type of a position, in a shameful type of a position, and instead it is covered up. It's somewhat more tsunua, so to say, and therefore you are allowed to go and turn it around, but you can't go and pull it back to you. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda disagrees, or at least that's the understanding that we have right now, that this is two different opinions. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, Afilu ein misuluk min ha'aretz ela kimlo machat. He says, no. As long as it's more than the girsa that we have is mlo machat, others have the girsa mlo chut. So even if it is just a thread's worth above the ground, that's if you have mlo chut. If it's mlo machat, it would be like a needle or a pin. So that level above the ground, as long as it's a little bit, again, it's a very small amount, it's a mashu, that it's above the ground, Reviewer says, go lo etzel. You're allowed to re-roll it back to yourself. But if it's on the ground, then you can't. Finally, we have Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, "Afilu bo'aretz atzmo." Even if it's reached actually on the ground, as long as you're holding on to the other end, golo etzel, you're allowed to re-roll it back to yourself. Why? She'en l'cha davar mishum shvus. The whole problem here is only a shvus, because after all, you're still holding on to it, so it's only a concern. What happens if you were to drop it? What happens if this? What happens if that? He says, "Yisroel shvus, Yisroel dinim derabbanan." Ein l'cha davar mishum shvus, omi b'bnei kisvei HaKodesh. He says, there is no rabbinical decree that is going to trump the concern that we have for kisvei HaKodesh. And therefore, in this situation, we would rather not have a rabbinical decree that we would enact over here in order to have save the bizayon of the Sefer Kodesh, of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Gemara starts off and starts discussing what exactly was the status of this iskupa, this threshold, this stoop in front of your house. Hay iskupa echidomi. What exactly are we talking about is the status of this iskupa? Ilema iskupa rishus hayachid. If you're telling me over here that this iskupa is the same type of rishus as your house, it's a rishus hayachid, and the kamo, and the area beyond the iskupa, the area in front of your house, is rishus harabim, so then we would say that you don't make a gzera, the lower guys rinan, we would not make a gzera in this situation. Dilma nafil v'asi lasuya, because we wouldn't be concerned that the entire Megillah, the scroll, is going to drop out of your hands, and then you're going to carry it from this Rishus HaRabim into the Iskupa, which is Rishus HaYochid, and that would be a Nisa Daraisa. You're not concerned about this? Whose opinion is that? We turn to the Amud Aleph. Mani, who says that we don't make such a gzeira? Obviously, this is Rabbi Shimon, as we see later on at the end of the Mishnah, where he says, "Dama kol davar shumi shum shvus ein omi b'nei kisei kodesh." He's of the opinion that we don't make a shvus, we don't make a gzeira in this situation. So there is a grave concern here that if you're sitting on this Rishus HaYochid and you're holding something that rolls into the Rishus HaRabim, we should have a concern normally that maybe you're going to drop it and then it's going to be entirely in the Rishus HaRabim and you're going to forget yourself and pick it up and you'll be transgressing in Issa Deraisa. So only Rabbi Shimon is not concerned about this. But then look at the Sefer, Ema Sefer. Now Sefer here means the middle part. So we just said the Reisha that says we're not concerned at all. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says it don't make a gzera. But then look at the second part of the Mishnah, Ema Sefer, where it says Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Ein Mesulik Min Aretz Ela Melo Hachot. Here we have the actual gears of Melo Hachot, not Melo Machat like we had the Mishnah. Ela Melo Hachot Golo Etzlo. He says as long as it's even a very, very thin amount, either like a thread or like a pin, a needle, above the ground, you're still allowed to roll it back. So obviously, this is not the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because he says that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu on the ground, Afilu Ba'aretz Atzma Golu Etzlo. So you then have three opinions over here, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. So the way it now comes out, we said the Tanakama is also Rabbi Shimon. Is this really the structure of the Mishnah? Reisha of the Sefer, Rabbi Shimon, Mitziyasa, Rabbi Yehuda, that the Reisha and the Sefer are the same opinion, and then in the middle you insert another opinion? That's not the way Mishnayos are normally done. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, this is the Amora Rav Yehuda. Always have to remember the difference between Rav Yehuda the Amora and Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, especially when they're in the same sugya, you can easily forget. So Amar Rav Yehuda, the Amora Rav Yehuda says, yeah, that's 100% right. It's not the ideal structure of a Mishnah, but that's exactly what we explained. In Reisha V'Sefer or Rabbi Shimon, the first part and the last part, the third part, are in fact the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and then you have the middle part, Mitziyasa, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the way it is. Not the most ideal structure, but that's the way it is. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rabba Omar, Rabba says, Hocho, you know what we're talking about? The skupa over here is a type of a threshold, Hanidreses Askinan. We're dealing here where a lot of people are walking through this iskupa. As Rashi says, Li'olam iskupa Rishus HaYochid. The iskupa is Rishus HaYochid. However, Avol Nidreses the regular rabrim overes derech law. There's a lot of usage of this iskupa by the public, and the public walks over here. And this is now in a place where there are a lot of people walking, and if the sefer, this scroll, which has kedusha to it, is potentially going to be stepped on by a lot of people, ikod bizoyon kisvei hakodesh. In this situation, everybody would be maskim that because of this high likelihood of bizoyim, because it's an area that's nidreses, that therefore lahochi sharyua legolo etzlo. Everybody would say that you can roll it back over here, and this is different than the case of the Gog. The little Dami Rashi says lekori begog. In the situation of the Gog, gosim leko bizoyim kulihai. It's not such a bizoyim for the Kisei HaKodesh because not a lot of people are going there. But here there is such a high likelihood that it's going to get into a situation of bizoyon, so therefore everybody's maskim, Rava says, the reisha is l'kulei alma, and therefore hocho biskupa the dress is askinanu mishum bizoyon the kisvei hakodesh shara banan. Everybody, not only Rabbi Shimon but even Rabbi Yehuda, would allow you to. So the first statement of the Mishnah is no longer required to say it must be only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. In fact, it's l'kulei alma. And therefore, that first statement is a general statement that everybody agrees to. And then there's nothing wrong with having a statement from Yehuda that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with. So therefore, the stylistic approach is fine. That's what Rabbi says. His Talmud, Abaye, questions this. Eisli Abaye, Abaye says, wait a second. Toch dalet amos golo etzlo. We said in a brisa that discusses what our Mishnah is talking about, a qualification. And we said that only according to the Tanakama are you allowed to roll it back if it hasn't rolled beyond dalet amos. So toch dalet amos, as long as the end of the scroll that's rolled, you're holding on to one end, the other end is rolled, if it's within dalet amos or from where you are, so then you can roll it back. However, if it's chutz l'dalet, if it's gone more than dalet amos from where you are, then you're not allowed to roll it back. We just try to make it in a position that it's not going to be such a bizoyon. And hovcho alaksav, you turn it over. So this is like you're holding a book face up, and then you leave, and you put the book face down. which is not something that you really should be doing. People don't realize that. You shouldn't turn a sefer that you're reading, one of our regular published svarim, a sitter or a sefer that you're reading, and you go to the bathroom, you go away, and you put it face down. That's really not a good thing. But if you have no choice, that's less of bizayon than leaving it open. Person shouldn't leave a sefer open unattended. That's a bizayon to the sefer, that it's left there open in this regard. So a person should always close a sefer. Sometimes people don't want to close a sefer because they're coming right back, so then you can leave it even open, and that's not a bizayon. Or you can turn it on its face, but that's a little bit of a bizayon. So here, when you have no choice, you turn it over. Hov chol aksav. Now, if you're telling me, here's the question that Abaye asks his Rebbe Rabba, he says, if you're telling me that it's a question of a scoop behind the dresses, so it's a huge bizayon, so then what difference should it make if it's more than dalad amos or less than dalad amos? The amos be scooping the dresses as keen on mali tok dalad amos, mali chutzli arba amos. If you're worried about this huge bizayon to the sefer, to this scroll, so then why would you say if it's more than dalad amos, we'll make a gzera? If it's less than dalad amos, we don't make a gzera. We just said we're not going to make a gzera in this situation because of the idea that it's nidresis and it's a huge bizayon. So therefore, Abaye doesn't like his Rebbe Rabba's answer. And therefore, Elo Omer Abaye, Abaye says, you know what we're dealing with over here? Hocho bi'iskupo karmelis askinon. As opposed to the first two terutzim, which we said that the iskupo was Rishus HaYochid, now we're going to introduce that the iskupo is actually the status of a karmelis. And it's a karmelis because it is a significant separate area in itself. It's dalet tvachim by dalet tvachim, so it's considered a significant area. But since it's not elevated above the ground more than 10 tvachim, it doesn't have the status of being a rishus hayochid. So therefore, we're dealing here with a karmelis. And what's in front of the house? Kama, in front of the house, you have Rishus HaRabim or Veres Lefonel. So you have the inside house, which is Rishus HaYochid. You have the Skupa, which has the status of a Karmelis. And then right outside that, you have the Rishus HaRabim. Now we understand, Toch Dalet Amos, if you're holding on to the scroll, you're sitting on the Skupa, you're holding on to one end of the scroll, it rolls away at the other end. As long as it's within Dalet Amos of you, so then there's no potential of being over in Issa Daraisa. The Enofil, even if it were to fall from your hand, the end that you're holding also now falls from your hand, and you forget yourself, umaisile, and you bring the whole thing back, but it isn't more than dalet amos away from you. So you're not transgressing carrying something dalet amos in an Issa D'Oraisa situation like it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're not transgressing an Issa D'Oraisa because you're bringing it not from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, but from Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis. So there is no potential for an Issa D'Oraisa as long as it's within dalet amos of you. And therefore, even if you forget yourself, you'll only be transgressing Isurim D'Rabbanan, or no Isur at all. You didn't carry Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And the only transgression is going from a Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, which is Midiyaraisa allowed. So therefore, there's no potential for you to make a Isur Chattis over here, so the rabbis will not gozer in this situation. Sharul Rabbanan. However, chutzli arba amos, if it rolls more than dalet amos away from you, so now you got a real problem. Because the e maisile, if you forget yourself and you go bring it back, you've now carried dalet amos rishus harabim. And therefore, osil dechiv chatas. And in this situation, the rabbi said, we have to make a gzeir over here because here there's a real potential for you to be over in Issa D'Oraisa, albeit unintentionally, but you'd be chayv chatas. So the rabbi said, gzeira, we don't let you roll it back if it went more than dalet amos away from you. So that's how Abaye understands our Mishnah, the first opinion in our Mishnah. Where it says, Ihachi, if this understanding of Abaye is right, that we're dealing here with the potential for a Issa D'Oraisa, and that's why the Tanakhama says that you're not allowed to roll it back if it's more than Dalet Amos, so then also, Toch Dalet Amos Nami, even if it's within Dalet Amos, we should be concerned. Why? We just said you're not carrying a Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and there's no Issa D'Oraisa for going from the Rishus HaRabim into the Karmelis, so why should you be concerned over here? So the Gemara says we should still be concerned, Nigzar, we should make a Gzeira, because Dilma Ma'ayil mi Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYochid. You may come to go and carry it from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. When you're going to bring it back, you may forget yourself, and you'll bring it back. It's now in the Rishus HaRabim. You take it into the Karmelis, and then you take it into the house. So this would be carrying from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid, albeit via a Karmelis. Are you going to tell me that it's not a problem if you do it via a Karmelis? It's not an Issa D'Oraisa. V'chitema, Karmelis leslonba, that when you carry a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus of a Karmelis and then into a Rishus HaYochid, you're not over an Issa D'Oraisa, but that's not true. V'amar Rava, we already learned previously, ha'ma'avir chefetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba, if somebody carries something in a Rishus HaRabim and he carries it from point A to point B. It's more than Dalet Amos, but he doesn't go through the Rishus HaRabim. Remember, a Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim high. So a person carries it on his shoulder. So now he picked it up from the ground. So the Akira was done in the Rishus HaRabim. He travels Dalet Amos and puts it down on the ground in the Rishus HaRabim. So the item has traveled more than Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, and it went from with an Akira and a Hanacha. But the actual transporting of it, he picked it above 10 Tfachim in the Rishus HaRabim. So you might have thought in this situation, it went from a Rishus HaRabim through the area above 10 Tfachim, which would have the status of not being a Rishus HaRabim, would be a Makom Ptur, and then he puts it back down in the Rishus HaRabim. You might think in that situation that you're not Chayiv. So Rava tells us, Hamavir Chayvetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba v'haviro derech olav, and he carries it above himself. In other words, he carried it above the Rishus HaRabim, so it wasn't in the Rishus HaRabim the entire time. Nevertheless, he's still Chayiv. So to over here, we should be concerned that if you're going to carry the scroll that now landed fully in the Rishus HaRabim because you let go of the other end by accident, and now where are you going to bring it? You're not going to leave it on the scoop, you're going to bring it into your house. So you're eventually going to bring it from Rishus HaRabim via the Yiskupa Carmelis into your house. How come we don't make a gzeir over there? That would be an Issa Daraisa. So that's the kasha on Abayis Teretz. So the Gemara says, two terutzim. You know what we're dealing with? Be Yiskupa Aruka. We're dealing over here with a very long Yiskupa. The Yiskupa, as Rashi says, is Sheishla Meshach Godol Beruchova Mishus HaRabim Atoch Abayis. The Yiskupa is not just four Tvachim by four Tvachim. It's a huge Yiskupa. You have a huge threshold here. It's 20 Amma long. So you rolled it into Rishus HaRabim, but you're sitting at the edge of the Yiskupa that's right near Rishus HaRabim. So you're going to pick it up by accident. You drop it from your hand. You're picking it up. And now you're going to carry it back into the house eventually. But you got 20 amas to walk. You got this long Yiskupa. And by the time you're in the middle of it, you say, hey, I'm not allowed to bring this into the house. You're going to remind yourself that you're not allowed to bring it into the house. Because in this situation, you have a very long Yiskupa. That's Teretz number one. We're dealing with Yiskupa Aruka and Adahachi Vahachi Midkar. And as you're walking this 20 amah distance, you say, hey, I'm not going to bring it inside. And you're going to remember. Fine. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, the body say, no. La'olam Biskupa She'en Aruka. No, we could be talking about a four tefach by four tefach type of Yiskupa, a very, very small Yiskupa. And therefore, there would be a real concern that you're going to carry from the Rishus HaRabim via this Yiskupa into the Rishus HaYochid house. So we should make a gzera. So the second Teretz says, no, we don't make such a gzera over here because the normal way, if somebody's carrying this type of a scroll, is he going to look at it? Ustam kisvei kodesh ayune ma'ayin behu, that a person, when he's walking, is going to look at this. So he's taking it, it dropped from his hand, it's all in Rishus HaRabim, he picks it up, he brings it into this Karmelis, not yet in this Daraisa, the Yiskupa's a Karmelis, but he stops, and he looks, hey, whoa, what is this interesting thing that I'm reading over here? And that's going to give him extra time to remember, hey, I can't bring this inside in the house, umanachlu, and put it down in the house. I better put it down here, the Yiskupa. And therefore, again, this is not a dover shchiach. This is not a likely scenario that he'll carry it from the Rishus HaRabim into the house. And therefore, we don't make such a gzeira. So either it's teretz number one, Yiskupa Aruka, and he'll remember because he's asking a long walk, or even if it's a short Yiskupa, because he's going to look into it, ayune me'ayin behu, so he's not going to carry it all the way into Rishus HaYochid. More has a problem with the second teretz. The leichos duma ma'ayin behu b'rishus HaRabim. Maybe when he picks it up, he'll look at it over there. And then, oh, he's satisfied, oh, yeah, everything is okay, nothing happened to the sefer, oh, this point that I was looking at before I go inside, I finished looking at it, and v'ayelhu v'hedya l'rishus HaYochid. And he won't stop in the Yiskupa because he already stopped in l'rishus HaRabim, and he'll carry it right into the house, and then you'll be over, if it's an Yiskupa Aruka, so he'll still remember. But if it's not an Yiskupa Aruka, it's a very short Yiskupa, it's a four Tvachim by four Tvachim, so he looked at it in l'rishus HaRabim, and with one fell swoop, he's already in l'rishus HaYochid. How come you're not concerned about that? You should make a gzeira. Gemara says, you know why we're not concerned? Because Homani, this opinion that we gave now, that we're dealing with a small Yiskupa, but we're not concerned because Iyune Ma'ayim Behu, even if he's Iyune Ma'ayim Behu in the Rishus HaRabim, goes according to Ben Azaihi, that we don't make such a gzeira. What is Ben Azai's opinion? Ben Azai has a very interesting idea in terms of carrying. He says when a person is walking, so each step, we view him as in, it was in slow motion, as it was a photo, and then he stopped. If you look at a person, even when he's walking, his feet are on the ground in between strides, and that's considered that he stopped over there. Now he started again. And then he stopped again. With each step, he starts and stops. So in halacha, Ben Azai said, that's not called an akira and an anacha, that you're traveling through this iskupa without stopping. It's as if you made an akira and an anocha in the iskupa area. So when you stepped in from the Rishus HaRabim into the iskupa, that's it. That's the akira and the anocha from the Rishus HaRabim. Now you step again into the Rishus HaYochid. That's a separate akira and anocha. Again, in each situation, you're only over the Rabbanan. The first akira and anocha went from the Rishus HaRabim into the iskupa. End of the discussion. Now you make a new akira and anocha. That's going from the iskupa Carmelis into the Rishus HaYochid house. Again, that's not a Nisa Deraisa. So Ben Azai's opinion is that you view this not as going from Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid, but we view it as two separate steps. You went from Rishus HaRabim into an iskupa, which is a Carmelis, and then that's the end of that. And then you went from the iskupa Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid, separate, and neither one is a Issur D'oraisa. According to Ben Azai, the only way you're ever over for carrying the Haladamos, or carrying from in Rishus HaRabim, or carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, is only if you throw it. Because in that situation, he doesn't view it as a slow motion that you consider it stopped in between. So Gemara says, okay, maybe in this situation, even Ben Azai would agree because he threw it. Maybe he's going to throw the scroll from the Rishus HaRabim through the iskupa into the Rishus HaYochid, and this way he'll toss it into the house, the Dilma Zorik Lu Mizrach, and therefore, even according to Ben Azai, would be over. The Amar of Yochanan, Modi Ben Azai Bezorik, that even Ben Azai doesn't say you do this slow motion, this viewing each step as a separate entity, as if he stopped. Even Ben Azai doesn't say that for Zorek, otherwise Ben Azai would never be able to be over Hotzah on Shabbos, or carrying on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that would be true if you were dealing with a ball, but not when you're dealing with a sefer, a holy scroll. Omer Ravacha Barava Zoso Meres Ein Mizrokin Kisvei HaKodesh. You're not letting go and throw Kisvei HaKodesh. So there's no way you're going to take this holy Megillah and toss it from the Rishus HaRabim through the Iskupa into the Rishus HaYochid, and Ben Azai would say in that situation you're chayiv. So you're only going to carry it. And this is going according to the opinion, the second teretz over here, that we're dealing with Yuni Ma'ayim Behu. So this goes according to the opinion of Ben Azai. It says you're not over an Issa Deraisa when carrying it from the Rishus HaRabim through the Iskupa into the Rishus HaYochid, and therefore there's no reason to make a Gzeira. That is the third and final teretz that we have over here. Mari now quotes the Mishnah. It says, Hoya Kari B'Rosh HaGad B'Chulei, if a person was reading this scroll up on top of the rooftop and it rolled out of his hand, he's holding onto one end. So it depends how far it went down. So Gemara says, if it went down to within 10 tefachim of the rooftop, so then you have to turn it on its face, so it shouldn't be lying in a state of bizoyim. Gemara says, V'atanya, but we learned in a braisa, kosvei svarim tefillin mezuzos, if a person is writing a sefer Torah, or he's writing a mezuzah, or he's writing tefillin, and he's in the middle of doing it, lo hitiru lehen lahafoch yiriyah al paneh. We don't allow him to go and cover up the sefer Torah. He doesn't want, he just wrote it, it has fresh ink, it's dusty, he doesn't want to get dust to get stuck to the fresh ink. So what should he do? He's not allowed. This is a bizoyon. Lo hitirulen lahafoch yiriyah al paneh. You're not allowed to turn the parts of the scroll that you've already written on and turn them upside down so they're face down, so they're protected from the elements and they don't get dust on them or schmutz on them or get the wind blows them. You're not allowed to do that. That's a bizoyon to turn it on its face. What should you do? Elaporis aleh as a beged. Put some sort of a garment over it so the garment will protect it. And you're not allowed to turn it over on its face. Kasha, how can we say over here that it's less of a bizoyon to turn it over on its face? So Gemara gives the obvious answer. It depends. Hasam Eshar. In the case of the stam of the Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, you had a choice. You could easily go and put a garment on top of them and protect it in that way. You didn't have to turn it over. So you're right. A garment on top of it versus turning it over, the garment on top of it is much less of a bizoyon, much nicer. Turning it over is a bizoyon. You're not allowed to do it. But in our case, with the person holding one end on the top of the roof and the other hand fell from his hand, so what are you going to do? How are you going to put a garment over it? Hachalo Efshir. It's impossible in this situation to put a garment over it. And therefore, the E, lo, apich, if he doesn't go and turn it on its face so that the writing isn't outside, the writing is towards the roof, towards the house, so then, ika bizoyim, kisvei kodesh tvei. That would be a bigger bizoyim. So again, it's all relative. In the case where you're writing the stam, and you could easily cover it up with a glima, with some sort of a garment, a kerchief, whatever you're going to cover it up. Much better to do it that way, which is really essentially no bizoyon, than to turn it upside down. That would be a bizoyon. But in the case where it's hanging from the rooftop, so then you can't put a garment over it, so then you have no choice. You turn it upside down. That's the lesser of the two evils. Then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, Hov chal aksav. We said that you turn it over. Gemara says, V'halo nach. Why do you have to turn it over? It's hanging in the air. It hasn't rested on the ground. So therefore, there is no issa daraisa. So why don't we say, as Rabbi Shimon does, that for bizayin hakodesh, you should be able to do anything? So the Gemara says, the girsa that we have is Omar Rava. Rava says, Bikosel mishupo. We're not talking about a straight wall that goes straight down, but we're talking about a slanted wall. So you're on your rooftop, and it has a slanted wall going away from you, and this scroll is rolling down this slanted wall. So it's on this slanted wall, and that's considered like noch. That's why you are not allowed to pull it back. You're right, the Gemara says. If it had been a straight wall down, there would be no gzeira. We wouldn't say you have to turn it over on its upside down. So it's not in a bizayon. You just pull it back. But here we're talking about that it's noch. It's lying on this kosel meshupa, on this slanting wall, and therefore that's why it is considered resting, and it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, so it's as if it's resting in Rishus HaRabim, and that's why you can't pull it back, because of the gzeira that you may come to pull it from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid if you were to drop it, and that would be an issur d'oraisa. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rava, this girsa, this was Amar Rava, so Abaye says to his colleague Rava, B'mayu kim til masnisin. So how have you set up our Mishnah? Under what circumstances? You just said that our Mishnah is talking here about Bikosel Meshupa. It's talking about a slanting wall. So Gemara says, keep on reading the Mishnah, Ema Sefer. The next part says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Afilu Eina Masulik Min Aretz El Melo HaChut, or Melo HaMachad, again, the girsa over here is Melo HaChut, like we changed the girsa in the Mishnah. He says, Rav Yehuda holds that even if it's just a hairbreadth above the ground, that's just a thin thread or a thin needle above the ground, you're allowed to return it. Go Loetzlo. You can go and roll it back. But if you just said we're dealing with the Kosel Meshupa, so then it's not that it's a hairbreadth above the ground. It's lying on the Rishus HaRabim because this wall is less than 10 tefachim above the ground, and it's lying on something in the Rishus HaRabim. So how can you tell me you're allowed to go roll it back? It's on the Rishus HaRabim ground equivalent by being on the slanted wall. So the Gemara says, Chisuri Mechzura, we're missing some words over here. V'hachitani, this is the way the Mishnah has to be understood. Under what circumstances do we say that if the scroll, if this Megillah has gotten within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to roll it back? That's when it's talking about Bekosel Meshupa, because it's on the ground, it's Nochle. But Avol, we turn to the Omid Beis, if you're talking about a situation that it's not a Kosel Meshupa, Bekosel She'eino Meshupa, in this situation, Lamala Mishlosha Golu Etzlo. If it's more than 3 tefachim of the ground, remember we have the principle of Lovud that says anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered on the ground. So as long as it's more than 3 tefachim above the ground, so it's not considered on the ground. And since it's not on a Kosel Meshupa, it's in the air. And if it's in the air, it's not Noch, and therefore you're allowed to roll it back. But if it's lamata mishlosha, if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, halachically we consider it as if it's on the ground. And therefore, now it's noch, it has the halachic status of being noch, and you're not allowed to pull it back, because of the gzeira that you're going to bring it from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, and therefore all you can do to save the bizoyon of this scroll is lahovko alexav, to turn it over so that the side that has the writing on it is facing down and not facing out to the world in a more bizoyon type of a situation. Now we seem to be quoting over here the Mishnah again, but on the side it says Mitoch Hasugi Nira She'en Kam Piska, that these two dots over here don't belong here. That's what it says in the Masoros Hashas. So we just continue reading this as if it's a continuation of the Gemara. So the Gemara is now saying, but according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Omer Afilu Ein Masulik Min Aretz Uchulei, so even if it's within a Melo Chut of the ground, you're allowed to pull it back, because he says Deba'inan Hanocha Al Gabi Mashu, because he says even when it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, that's not considered on the ground, because it has to actually be noch. We don't say halachically noch, we say physically noch. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda comes to disagree. So the Gemara says, V'elohod yama Rava, that which Rava said, the tosh shloshel rabbanon tzorech hanocha, that if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, and it's considered on the ground according to the Tanakhama here, so lema kitanoi armo l'shmaisei, so is the Tanakhama only going according to one opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's not considered on the ground because you need a physical noch, and as long as it's even a melo chut above the ground, you can remove it. Is that really the Chachamim's opinion, that they're only going according to Rabbi Yehuda and they're not going according to the rest of the Chachamim? That doesn't make any sense, that we would be assigning the Chachamim's opinion only to be like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Someone says, no, in fact, that's not. Elakula Rabbi Yehudi. In fact, and this is what I said before, it's not a machlokis in our Mishnah. We don't have an opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. It's all one opinion, and it's all Rabbi Yehuda. Elakula Rabbi Yehudi. When you read the Mishnah, as it goes as follows. There is no Tanakama, that's the Chachamim, and then Rabbi Yehuda. The Chisurim Achsav HaHokitani. And this is the way you have to read it. By Medvar Mamurim, under what circumstances are we talking about in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and roll it back if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground? That, as we said, is Bekoso Meshupa. That's with the slanting wall. So it's actually Noch on the slanting wall. However, if it's not a slanting wall, Aval Bekoso She'eno Meshupa, it's going straight down, so it's hanging in the air. It's not Noch on the wall. So in this situation, Afilu Pachos Mishlosha Tefachim, go let's low. Even if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, since it's not Noch, even here the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to roll it back because the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Eino Masulach Minoris El Melo Hachot, even if it's only a hairbreadth above the ground, just the amount of a thread or the amount of the needle, if you have Melo HaMachat, Golu Etzel, you're allowed to return it because it wasn't physically Noch Mai Taima. He says in this situation, for the rabbis to have made Ixera, the Ba'inan Hanocha Al Gabi Mashu, it actually has to land on something, it has to be Noch, not halachically Noch within 3 Tvachim of the ground, but it has to physically be Noch either on the coast of Meshupa or actually all the way to the ground. Now Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even if it's on the ground, we don't make such Ixera. But the Chacham say that as long as it's not on the ground, we don't make Ixera because of the Kisvei Kodesh shouldn't be in Bizoyon. But if it landed, if it's Noch, either on the coast of Meshupa or on the ground, then we have to make Ixera, and that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with. But this way, this is all one opinion. It wasn't a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and a Tana Kama, the Chachamim. It's in fact all the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we go to the next Mishnah. We have over here a Ziz Shlifnei HaChalon. And you can see diagrams of this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 115 in diagram number 345. And by the way, there were diagrams about the scroll rolling off the escupa. If you want to see pictures of that, you can look at that. I should have mentioned this previously. There's actually a mistake in the notation where it's found, but it's on page 115, diagram number 344. It says Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph. It should be Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. But it's again, it's diagram number 344 to look at the escupa. And likewise, I should have mentioned in the Pirush Chai on page 213, you have diagrams of the scroll being rolling off the roof and how far it goes down in diagrams 11 and 12 on page 213. And if you want to look at our Gemara now in the Mishnah that we're talking about, if you want to see diagrams of that, so you have to look on page 215 in diagram number 17, and we'll see 18, and then 19 and 20 as well. So our Mishnah starts and tells us a ziz, you have some sort of a projection, a ledge that comes out from a window, shelifnei chalon. So you have a wall, and you have a window coming out from the wall. The house, the wall is enclosing a rishus hayochid, and this window is leading to the outside area. Below it is rishus harabim. So you have this window with some sort of a ledge, a projection coming out from the window. So knows then a lav, you're allowed to take things from the house and put them on this window sill, put them on the ledge that's by the window. Knows then a lav, the note of Shabbos. You can put things there and take things there on Shabbos. It's all your rishus hayochid. It all has the same status of being your rishus hayochid. It doesn't belong to multiple people, and therefore you can do this with impunity, not a problem. Morris also says, "Hi ziz the mefik lehecha." This ziz is standing out over what type of rishus? Ilemo the mafik rishus harabim. If is I suggested that it's outside the house is rishus harabim, so then why aren't we concerned? Lechos dilma nafil v'yosei lisuye, that something's going to fall off this ledge. It's, let's say it's a 12 tefachim above the ground. So it's, the ledge is certainly not the Rishus HaRabim, and now it falls off. You have an item there, falls off into the ground. You stick your hand out the window, and you pick it up from the ground. So it's easily doable. Why aren't we concerned that the thing is going to fall off the ledge from the Rishus HaYochid and fall into Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to want to go get it, and you're going to pick it up, and you're going to carry from the Rishus HaRabim back into Rishus HaYochid? Lechos duma nofil v'osi lesuye. So where it says, you're right. Elo de mefik Rishus HaYochid. So it must be talking about that the area outside is Rishus HaYochid. The area outside is Rishus HaYochid, then there's no reason to make Gzeira. Pshita, the Mishnah would not tell us that it's Mutter, because why would you think we should make Gzeira from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid? Even if the whole thing is only Din the Rabbanon, that you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid without an Erev Chatzeros, so then here they wouldn't make Gzeira. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, it was the first answer. Amar Baye Lolom, the Mefik Rishus HaRabim. This ledge, this windowsill, this projection out is above a Rishus HaRabim. It's more than 10 Tzvachim high, above a Rishus HaRabim. And Why do we say there is no concern? We should make a gzeira lechosh dum and awful yosel suye that it should fall off and maybe you come to pick it up. The rabbi should make a gzeira. So Gemara says, "Umay nosin alav diktani." That which he said, you're allowed to put things on it, is only kelim hanishbarim. You can only put glass. You can only put things that will break. So there is no concern. Oh, it will fall off the ledge and they'll come to pick it up. If it falls off the ledge, it's going to break, and therefore you're not going to pick up the broken shards, and therefore there's no reason to make a gzeira. And this is not a dochak type of a teretz. This is, in fact, tanya nami yachal. We have a brisa that says the exact same thing. Ziz shelifnei achalon. If you have this projection that comes out from the window, this windowsill that has a ledge attached to it, hayotzi rishus rabim, that it's hanging over rishus rabim, but it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground, so it's not rishus rabim itself. So nosin alav, you're allowed to put on it breakable things, ki'oros, various types of plates, kosos, cups, kitonos, are jugs or pitchers, utsluchis, other types of jugs or pitchers, and all of these things will break if they fall. Umishtamesh, and you're allowed to go and use bekolakoso, you can use this entire ledge, ad asara hatachtonim, up until if the ledge is more than 10 tefachim above the ground. But if the ledge has part of it that is, or all of it, that is within 10 tefachim of the ground, so then it's no good, because that's now a rishus harabim. So Rashi explains, if it's very long, it runs not only by the window, but it runs even beyond the window. Again, you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai, diagram number 18, that it's not just by the window. It extends well beyond the window as well. So then in this situation, so you can carry all the way, Maziz Mutal L'Orko, Eitzel HaKosal HaPnei Kulo Mishtamish Chol HaZiz. You can use the entire length over here of the Ziz. But you can't use it if it drops any point below 10 Tzvachim. Klomar, Komokum Shug, Bein somuch l'chalon, miyad, bein muflok, whether it's right by the window or farther away from the window, it must be above 10 tefachim from the ground. But if it's less than that, you're not allowed to use it. Next case. The im yesh ziz echod l'mata mimenu. If you have one ziz on top of another ziz, again, you can see this clearly in the illustrated Gemara on page 115, diagram number 345, or in the Pirush Chai on diagram 20 on page 215. So if you have a projection above it, so you have like the windowsill with the ledge and the projection right next to the windowsill, and then you have another one below that, ziz lamata, so in that situation, mishtamishbo, you're allowed to use the top one or the bottom one. However, in the top one in this situation, be'elyon, eim mishtamishbo elukinei chalono. Here, you're only allowed to use that part of the windowsill that's directly opposite the window. But anything that extends beyond the window to the left or to the right, you're not allowed to use. Rashi explains, on the bottom one, mishtamish bo betachton, apikolakoso. You can use the entire wall. Imunach liorko etzalakoso. If it extends beyond the window, that's not a problem for the bottom one. But the top one, you can't. Now, why not? So the Gemara says, hai ziz hechidami. Why can't you use the top one along the way? Idles be arba, if it's not four tvachim by four tvachim, so then it's not considered a separate rishus by itself. It's therefore becoming a mokum ptur, and mokum pturhu is a separate rishus, and we said you're not allowed to go and use a makom patur in this situation because we're concerned that maybe you carry it from the rishus harabim into the rishus hayachim via the makom patur. And Rashi says, "Vafilu keneged chalono lo lishtamesh." You wouldn't even be able to use it right outside the window. Nihid the makom patur, even though it's a makom patur, umutal kasev alav, and you'd be allowed to go place something on it. Ki the kaim alav makom shem bo arba mutal of nei rishus harabim. Vil of Nei Rishus Hayot, then you have the Mokum Tur in between, Rishus Hayot and Rishus Harabim. Both can use it independently, but we're concerned, Miu, Tashmish Tadir, to use it on a regular basis, such as this windowsill, Lo Mishtari Bey. The rabbis would not allow it, because we'd be concerned, the Lo Chazi L'Tashmishta, B'Shchich Kelim L'Nepal, Rishus Harabim, because things are going to constantly fall off it, and you're going to forget yourself, and you're going to bring it back up to this Mokum Tur, and then into the house, and you're going to be carrying from the Rishus Harabim through the Mokum Tur into Rishus Hayot, and that's not allowed. So therefore, if the ziz is less than dalat tzvachim by dalat tzvachim, it's a makom patur, and you wouldn't be allowed to use it. Afilu keneged chalono, nami lo yishtamish, for the reasons that we just said. No, so it's more than dalat tzvachim by dalat tzvachim. V'yisbe arba, if it in fact is four tzvachim by four tzvachim, so then, why can't you use the whole thing? V'yisbe arba, b'kuli akosel yishtamish. Why can't you use the entire thing? Why, again, should it be any different that you have a projection below it? Why should that ruin the projection above it? In the first case, when we didn't have a projection below it, you said you can use it even not right next to the window, you can use it along the whole way. So why if there's a projection below it, if there's lamata ziz mimenu, ziz lamata mimenu, why should that ruin it for the top one? So Gemara says, you're right. Amar Abaye, Tachton, the Isbeah Bo. We're talking here about the bottom one, which is 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim wide, but the Elyon, less Beah Bo, and the top one doesn't have 4 Tvachim. So therefore, the Chalon, Mashli Mosul, Ledalit. But in the top one, it's right next to the window, and you have the window sill, and the window sill plus the ledge together make up Dalit Tvachim. So therefore, in this situation, the top one is only allowed to be used where it's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim, where it's not a Mokum Tor. So, Kineged Chalon, in this situation, where it's right next to the window, so let's say the ledge is 3 Tvachim and the windowsill is 1 Tefach, so it's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim over there. So, Kineged Chalon Mishtamish, you're allowed to use it right by the Chalon. Because the Chore Chalonu, that's considered like Chore Rishus HaYochid. We mentioned previously, we have Chore Rishus HaYochid, Chore Rishus HaRabim, that you're allowed to go and use the holes in your wall. On the Rishus HaYochid side, you can use it because it's considered an extension of the Rishus HaYochid, even though it in and of itself wouldn't be considered Rishus HaYochid. And on the Rabim side, let's say, you can use the holes there because it's considered Chor Rishus HaRabim. So in this situation, the window sill, the one tefach, is Rishus HaYochid from the inside of the house, and we can extend it like it's a Chor Rishus HaYochid when it extends out to be more tefachim to view that as a 4 tefach by 4 tefach Chor Rishus HaYochid. And that's why you can carry only against that part. The high gisa, but to the left of the windowsill, to the right of the windowsill, where it's only 3 tvachim, that's a mokum tor, and we make the gzera, and it's also to go and place things on it, because it's a regular usage, and we're concerned that in a regular usage, you're going to end up forgetting it when it falls off, you're going to end up carrying from the Rishus HaRabim into this mokum tor, into the house. That concludes that little sugya. Now we go to the next mishnah, we'll just start it. A person is allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid and move something in Rishus HaRabim. That is not usur. For example, Rashi tells us, he's in his house, he's in Babayis, or Aligag, or in his rooftop, which is Rishus HaYochid, Vishocha, Vinotel Chofetz, Rishus HaRabim. He takes something, there's a container in Rishus HaRabim, and he moves it from one point to another point in Rishus HaRabim, although he'll have to be doing it less than Dalet Amos. It's not a problem, because he's standing in the Rishus HaYochid. That's what the Tanakhama says. Vice versa, if he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, he can move this jug, he can move this item, he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, he can move it in Rishus HaYochid, we're not concerned. However, Obuvad, you have to be concerned, Shelo Yotzi Chutz Me'Arba Amos. In the first case, you have to be very careful that he wasn't moving the item more than Dalet Amos within Rishus HaRabim. That would not be allowed. Now, the Mishnah continues. It says, Lo Yamar Odom Mishus HaYochid, the Yashtim Mishus HaRabim. A person should be standing in Mishus HaYochid and urinating, and the stream flows into the Mishus HaRabim. So he's urinating from the Mishus HaYochid into Mishus HaRabim. That's carrying from the Mishus HaYochid into Mishus HaRabim. That's not allowed. Your stream of your urine is considered like you carried it there. Likewise, Mishus HaRabim, you now let's stand, the Yashtim Mishus HaYochid, and go and urinate into Mishus HaYochid. Similarly, v'chein lo yaruk, you're not allowed to go spit from one Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim or from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. It's the same thing. Your urine, your spit, is considered yours, that you carried it from one place to the other. That's a Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, af mi shenitlash roko befiv, even if you have spit in your mouth, and you didn't spit it out, but it's already not, so to say, in the secretory glands of your salivary glands in your mouth, but it's out, it's in your mouth. So he says, Lo yahalech arba amos ach yaruk. He says, you must spit it out in the Rishus HaRabim, because if you let it be in your mouth and you travel dalet amos while the spittle is in your mouth, so that's considered as if you're carrying the spit. Once it's excreted from your salivary glands, if you don't swallow it or you don't spit it out, so then it's now considered no longer part of your body. And it's as if you're carrying something. And there Yehuda says, in this situation, you have to spit it out before you carry dalet amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Masle, the word starts, Masle Rav Chinna Bar Shalmiya L'chia Barav Kamei Rav. This Amora, Rav Chinna Bar Shalmiya, asked Rav's son, L'chia Barav, in front of Rav the following question. It says, in our Mishnah, Lo Yamot Odom Yerushus HaYochid U'metalt Yerushus HaRabim. A person can't stand in the Yerushus HaYochid and move something in the Yerushus HaRabim. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what we said. In our Mishnah, we said that a person can stand in the Yerushus HaYochid and move something in the Yerushus HaRabim as long as he doesn't move the Dalet Amos. And here, this Rav Chinina Bar Shalmiya said, the girsa of the Mishnah is the opposite, that you can't do this. So Rav, when he heard this, Amalei, Rav said to this Rav Chinina Bar Shalmiya, Shavkis Rabbanan V'Avdis Rabmeir, you've left the Shita of the Chachamim, the majority Shita, and instead you're learning our Mishnah with the girsa that you said, that's like the minority opinion of Rav Meir. What is this talking about? This is a Mishnah that's coming off, on Daf Kuf Aleph. And there we're going to say that Rav Meir says, you're not allowed to do this. So, that Mishnah was Rav Meir, so he's saying that this Mishnah is Rav Meir as well. So why did he do this? Why did he leave the majority opinion of the Chachamim that say you're allowed to, like the Girsa of our Mishnah, and try to make our Mishnah to be like the opinion of Rav Meir? Why did he do that? So Gemara says, who saw this Rav Chinina? He thought, me the Seifa, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph, is Rabbi Meir. So Mistama, Reisha, Nami Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is also the opinion of Rav Meir. And that's why he wanted to say, the Girsa, like he did, that our Mishnah says, you're not allowed to stay in the Rishus HaYochid and move something in the Rishus HaRabim, even if you're not moving in Dalet Amos. But in fact, the Gemara says that the Girsa of our Mishnah was correct. Velohi, just because that Mishnah on Kuf Aleph is Rav Meir, doesn't mean that our Mishnah here is Rav Meir as well. And we prefer to say our Mishnah is the Girsa of the Chachamim, which is the majority opinion. Say for Rav Meir, yeah, Kuf Aleph is Rav Meir. However, Reisha, Daf Tzadiches, that is the Reisha, is the Rabbanan. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. With this, we conclude today's shiur.